Welcome to the Space Daily Brief, where we bring you the latest updates, groundbreaking developments, and key insights shaping the future of space exploration and technology. I'm your host, AI Michelle, and this is a Magic Pod production by Podcast AI. Here are our top stories today. First, we're diving into the new Mars landing approach, a breakthrough that could revolutionize how we land large payloads on the red planet. Second, a deep dive into old data from NASA's Voyager 2 has solved several mysteries about Uranus. Third, the Atacama Large Millimeter/Submillimeter Array reveals that planets can form even under harsh radiation. Fourth, India unveils plans to build a moon-orbiting space station by 2040. Fifth, Ubotica and Kongsberg are pioneering a new era of autonomous smart satellites. Sixth, nature-inspired solar lasers may sustainably power future space missions. Seventh, the Tracers mission is moving toward its April launch. And finally, a recent SpaceX rocket launch created a stunning light display, as reported by the BBC. Let's zoom in on our first story, the new Mars landing approach. Back in 2007, I spoke with Rob Manning, a renowned engineer at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. At that time, landing humans on Mars seemed nearly impossible due to the planet's thin atmosphere and the massive size of spacecraft required for such missions. But after two decades of research and successful rover landings, Rob Manning says we've made significant progress. The challenge with Mars lies in its ultra-thin atmosphere, which is over 100 times thinner than Earth's. This makes it difficult to slow down a large spacecraft from interplanetary speeds to a gentle landing. Historically, Mars landings have required complex maneuvers, like the sky crane used for the Perseverance rover, which weighs about 1 metric ton. However, human missions will need to accommodate payloads 20 to 100 times larger. Enter supersonic retropropulsion, a technique where engines are fired backwards while the spacecraft is moving at supersonic speeds. This method was initially deemed risky due to potential instability and heating from the exhaust plume. However, SpaceX's experiments with their Falcon 9 rocket demonstrated its feasibility. Their success has paved the way for applying this technology to Mars missions, allowing for scalable landing solutions. While supersonic retropropulsion has answered many questions, challenges remain. Engineers still need to address how to steer large spacecraft through Mars's atmosphere, manage the debris from landing, and develop landing legs suitable for the rocky terrain. Additionally, logistical issues such as establishing infrastructure and refueling for return missions need solutions. Rob Manning emphasizes that despite the progress, patience is key. Mars missions can only be attempted every 26 months due to the alignment of Earth and Mars, meaning trial and error will be a slow process. But with the supersonic retropropulsion technique now validated, we're one step closer to landing humans on Mars, embodying the futuristic visions of firing engines backwards at high speeds, just like Buck Rogers imagined in the 1930s. Today, we're mining old data from NASA's Voyager 2 to solve several Uranus mysteries. When Voyager 2 flew by Uranus in 1986, it provided our first close glimpse of this unusual planet, which rotates on its side. The flyby revealed new moons and rings, but it also introduced some baffling mysteries. The energized particles around the planet defied scientists' understanding of how magnetic fields work to trap particle radiation, making Uranus an outlier in our solar system. Recently, a fresh analysis of the data collected during that flyby has shed light on some of these mysteries. It turns out that just before Voyager 2's flyby, Uranus was affected by an unusual type of solar weather that compressed its magnetosphere. This cosmic coincidence gave scientists a skewed view of the planet's magnetic field. According to Jamie Jasinski of NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, the conditions Voyager 2 observed occur only about 4% of the time. Magnetospheres act as protective bubbles around planets with magnetic fields, shielding them from ionized gas jets streaming from the sun in the solar wind. Understanding how these magnetospheres work is crucial for studying both our planet and others in the solar system. During the 1986 flyby, Voyager 2 found electron radiation belts around Uranus with an intensity second only to Jupiter's. Yet, there seemed to be no source of energized particles to sustain these belts, and the rest of Uranus's magnetosphere was almost plasma-free. This puzzled scientists, who expected the five major Uranian moons to produce water ions, as seen around other icy moons. The new analysis suggests that the solar wind may have driven plasma out of Uranus's system while also intensifying the magnetosphere's dynamics, injecting electrons into the radiation belts. This finding hints that the Uranian moons might be geologically active, possibly spewing ions into the surrounding bubble all along. Planetary scientists are now keen to deepen their understanding of the Uranus system, which has been prioritized for a future NASA mission by the National Academy's 2023 Planetary Science and Astrobiology Decadal Survey. Linda Spilker, who was part of the Voyager 2 mission team, reflects on the anticipation and excitement of the 1986 flyby. The flyby was packed with surprises, and we were searching for an explanation of its unusual behavior, she says. This new work explains some of the apparent contradictions and will change our view of Uranus once again. Today, we're exploring a groundbreaking discovery from the Atacama Large Millimeter/Submillimeter Array, commonly known as ALMA. New observations suggest that planet formation can occur even in environments previously thought to be too harsh for such processes. This finding is based on high-resolution images of eight protoplanetary disks in the Sigma Orionis cluster, a region bathed in intense ultraviolet light from a massive nearby star. An international team of astronomers led by Jane Huang utilized ALMA to capture these images, revealing gaps and rings in the disks, structures typically associated with the formation of giant planets like Jupiter. We expected the high levels of radiation in this cluster to inhibit planet formation in the outer regions of these disks, said Huang. But instead, we're seeing signs that planets may be forming at distances of tens of astronomical units from their stars, similar to what we've observed in less harsh environments. This new research marks the highest resolution look at disks in such extreme environments, broadening our understanding of where and how planets can form. Previously, studies had focused on disks in regions with low ultraviolet radiation. Huang notes that these observations suggest that the processes driving planet formation are quite robust and can operate even under challenging circumstances. This revelation gives us more confidence that planets may be forming in even more places throughout the galaxy, including regions we previously thought were too hostile. The implications of these findings extend to our understanding of the formation of our own solar system, which likely evolved in a similarly high radiation environment. This research also motivates future studies of disks in even more extreme stellar neighborhoods. Using ALMA's most extended antenna configuration, the team achieved a resolution of about 8 astronomical units, allowing them to resolve multiple distinct gaps and rings in several of the disks. While the exact nature of these disk structures is still debated, they're thought to be either conducive to planet formation or a consequence of interactions between forming planets and the disk material. This study demonstrates the power of ALMA to probe planet formation in diverse environments across the galaxy. As astronomers build a more comprehensive picture of how planets form under different conditions, they come closer to understanding the origins of Earth and the prevalence of planets around other stars. India is setting its sights on an ambitious goal, constructing a moon-orbiting space station by the year 2040. This bold plan is part of India's broader strategy to establish a long-term presence beyond Earth's orbit. The envisioned lunar outpost will not only support crewed missions to the moon's surface, but also act as a hub for scientific research, according to reports from local media. If the timeline unfolds as planned, the lunar space station will be completed around the same time India's astronauts make their historic landing on the moon. This development will precede the construction of a permanent base on the lunar surface, anticipated to be in place before 2050. India's moon exploration efforts are structured in three phases, with the lunar space station marking the third and final phase. The journey begins with robotic missions to the moon, utilizing indigenous technology. This includes the upcoming Chandrayaan-4 sample return mission, slated for launch in 2028. This mission aims to collect approximately 6.6 pounds or 3 kilograms of samples from a water ice-rich region near the moon's south pole and return them to Earth. "We're exploring how we can accomplish a mission to the moon and back in a cost-effective manner," said S. Somanath, chairman of the Indian Space Research Organization. Following the robotic missions, the second phase aims to achieve a crewed moon landing by 2040, setting the stage for the eventual construction of the moon orbiting station. In addition to hosting astronauts, this station will serve as a scientific research hub and a base for future space missions. India's recent achievements in lunar exploration, such as the Chandrayaan-3 mission that made India only the fourth country to land a spacecraft on the moon, have set the foundation for these future endeavors. Prime Minister Narendra Modi has emphasized the need for new and ambitious goals, including a crewed moon flyby by 2035, followed by a human landing mission 5 years later. The lunar space station might share similarities with India's planned Earth orbiting station, known as the Bharatiya Antariksh Station, or BAS. The development of BAS's first module, BAS-1, was approved by the Indian government and is scheduled for launch to low Earth orbit by 2028, with full operational status expected by 2035. As India moves forward with these plans, the country faces enormous challenges. "This is an enormous task," stated S. Sivakumar, project director of India's NGLV rocket development at the Vikram Sarabhai Space Center. Meanwhile, the four astronauts selected for India's crewed space missions are undergoing training in Bengaluru, having completed similar training in Russia. One of these astronauts, Indian Air Force test pilot Shubhanshu Shukla, is set to fly to the International Space Station on a 2-week mission next spring. In today's Tech Advances, we're spotlighting a trailblazing partnership between Ubotica and Kongsberg Nanoavionics that's set to redefine the operational efficiency and data delivery for Earth observation and defense sectors. This collaboration marks a significant milestone in the new space economy, emphasizing smarter and more autonomous satellite missions driven by edge artificial intelligence. Ubotica, already known for its partnerships with NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory, European Space Agency, IBM, and Thales Alenia Space, is leveraging its space AI processing solutions to enhance satellite capabilities. This includes the integration of their Cognis-AT CRC technology, which autonomously removes clouds and compresses data in orbit, ensuring high-quality images are sent back to Earth. This innovation is expected to cut downlink expenses by up to 85%, offering substantial cost savings and enabling real-time, mission-critical insights. The collaboration with Kongsberg Nanoavionics positions them as the first large-scale satellite manufacturer to offer edge artificial intelligence as a standard feature. This move is designed to maximize mission longevity, reliability, and return on investment across various sectors, including commercial, institutional, and governmental partnerships. With features like ship detection and oil slick monitoring, space AI provides critical insights that can be tailored to new business cases. Arnoldas Pitsiukevicius, Director of Product and Mission Development at Nanoavionics, highlights the importance of enhancing operational efficiency and cost savings for customers. "By integrating Ubotica's in-orbit processing capabilities, they're elevating Earth observation applications, equipping their customers with tools for faster and more effective data-driven decisions." Ubotica's global sales director, Maddie Ekdahl, underscores the partnership's significance in making advanced satellite data processing more accessible. "With a pay-as-you-go pricing model, space.ai solutions lower initial costs and distribute expenses over the satellite's lifespan, transforming the economics and real-time capabilities of Earth observation." Today, we're focusing on a fascinating development in sustainable space power technology, as researchers from Harriet Watt University and international collaborators have announced an innovative approach to harnessing solar energy in space. This new technology aims to convert sunlight directly into laser beams, enabling efficient power transmission over vast distances. Whether it's between satellites, from satellites to lunar bases, or back to Earth, this approach could revolutionize how we power space missions. This cutting-edge initiative is inspired by the natural process of photosynthesis, where plants and certain bacteria convert light energy into chemical energy. The project, known as APACE, involves repurposing the light harvesting structures found in photosynthetic bacteria to form the core of this new laser technology. These structures are incredibly efficient at capturing ambient solar light and channeling its energy, making them an ideal model for sustainable power generation in space. The APACE project is a collaborative effort bringing together experts from the United Kingdom, Italy, Germany, and Poland. Their goal is to create a new type of solar-powered laser system that provides reliable, efficient power for the increasing number of satellites and future space missions. By using the natural light harvesting mechanisms of bacteria, the team hopes to achieve a breakthrough in space power technology, allowing for direct power distribution without relying on electrical intermediaries. Professor Eric Goger, from the Institute of Photonics and Quantum Sciences at Harriet Watt University, is leading the theoretical modeling aspects of the project. He explains the project's significance, noting that sustainable power generation in space without relying on components sent from Earth is a major challenge. By utilizing the self-sufficient and efficient light harvesting capabilities of bacteria, the team is hopeful that their bio-inspired system could lead to significant advancements in space exploration and clean energy technology on Earth. The research team is currently working on developing artificial versions of these bacterial structures, alongside new laser materials that can work with both natural and artificial light harvesters. These components will be combined into a novel laser material, tested in progressively larger systems, and refined for space deployment. The team expects to have their first prototype ready for testing within 3 years. If successful, this technology could help generate power locally on space stations and even provide a means to send power to satellites or back to Earth using infrared laser beams. This has the potential to transform how we power space operations, making exploration more sustainable and advancing clean energy technology globally. With many space agencies planning missions to the Moon and Mars, this innovation could play a crucial role in powering those endeavors. Mission updates. The Tracers mission is gearing up for its anticipated April launch, marking a significant milestone in the study of space weather. This mission, short for Tandem Reconnection and CUSP Electrodynamics Reconnaissance Satellites, involves twin satellites designed to fly in tandem through Earth's magnetic field to study how solar wind particles interact with our planet during a reconnection event. This exploration is crucial for understanding space weather, which impacts everything from power grids to communication satellites. Tech advances. In a remarkable feat of engineering, the instruments for the Tracers mission were tested in a clean room at the University of Iowa's Miles Lab. These instruments were then shipped to Millennium Space Systems in California, where the spacecraft that will carry them were constructed. The first of the two spacecraft is now fully assembled and undergoing rigorous testing before its scheduled delivery to Vandenberg Space Force Base for the launch. This mission underscores the collaboration between academic institutions and industry leaders in advancing space technology. Discoveries. The Tracers mission aims to uncover the mysteries of magnetic reconnection, a phenomenon described as the explosive transfer of energy that occurs when the solar wind meets Earth's magnetosphere. By capturing data on these interactions, Tracers will enhance our understanding of space weather phenomena, including the northern and southern lights, and their effects on Earth. Policy and industry. As space weather becomes a national priority, NOAA, traditionally known for producing weather forecasts, is now also responsible for space weather forecasts. While Tracers itself isn't a space weather forecasting mission, the data it collects will be fundamental in improving our ability to predict and respond to space weather events, highlighting the growing intersection of space science and policy. Research. The TRACERS mission represents a significant step forward in space weather research. As society increasingly relies on space-based technologies, understanding the rapid and unpredictable changes in the near-Earth environment becomes crucial. The data gathered by TRACERS will address gaps in our current knowledge, paving the way for better forecasts and enhanced technological resilience. In our final story today, a spectacular SpaceX rocket launch from Vandenberg Space Force Base in California on November 17th dazzled onlookers with a stunning light display. The Falcon 9 rocket was on a mission to deploy 22nd-generation Starlink satellites, which are set to enhance global internet access. As the rocket ascended into the night sky, it left a brilliant trail of light, capturing the attention of those fortunate enough to witness the event. These second-generation Starlink satellites are part of SpaceX's ongoing efforts to improve and expand internet connectivity around the world, particularly in remote and underserved areas. The launch marks another step forward in SpaceX's ambitious plan to create a comprehensive satellite network capable of providing high-speed internet access across the globe. The light display, often referred to as a rocket launch plume, occurs when sunlight interacts with the rocket's exhaust particles at high altitudes. This creates a visual spectacle that is both awe-inspiring and scientifically fascinating. Such displays are not only a treat for the eyes, but also a testament to the remarkable advances in aerospace technology. As SpaceX continues to push the boundaries of space exploration and telecommunications, these launches serve as a reminder of the incredible progress being made in the space industry. With each successful mission, SpaceX not only enhances connectivity, but also inspires future innovations in space travel and technology. That's a wrap for today's episode of the Space News Daily Brief. If you enjoyed it, hit follow in your podcast app and share it with a fellow space enthusiast. We're expanding our lineup of Daily Brief shows. Have an idea? Check out the link in the show notes.